today's topic, a few people came up to me and were a bit nervous to come to a shiur in light of what might come out of the shiur and the Psak Halacha. When I was in yeshiva, learning Eretz Yisrael 15 years ago, Rabbi Rabbeinu said, whatever you do when you get home, do not tell your parents they're doing anything wrong, and most likely whatever they're doing, there's some hatter for it. So the opening up of boxes and cans and bottles and packages is no different. Most likely anything that's going on in your house or a parent's house is most probably a heter for it. So no need to ruffle anyone. But especially if you're Svardim, a Svardim, I'm told, are everything's completely mutter for them. So there's who to rely on. not in general. I mean, in terms of opening bags and... Exactly. We'll see later on. Most people probably did not get there because I was told the Marmal Kumas are very challenging today. But we will get to, if not today, maybe we'll do it next week, that it does not only apply to food, but also applies to other things as well. Paper towels, I did not know that Svardim permit that. Okay, so we'll go through it. Mirat Hashem. So, first of all, there are many malachas that we encounter when opening up bags of food and other items. Kareya, Soser, Makrepatish, Bone, Mochek, Mechatech, a number of them. And it's a very, very challenging topic, but people request that I speak about this. So, I'm going to touch upon each malacha that we are going to encounter when opening up bags, and hopefully, depending on the time, we'll either discuss practical applications this week, or maybe even next week, we'll talk about opening up soda cans and cartons and whatnot, depending how we move through this shiur today. So let's begin first with the Halach L'maisa. The Halach L'maisa, with Rav Moshe Feinstein, he tells us in Shuvas, the Or Chaim Chelek Alf, Simen Kuf Chav Beis, number one, Aval L'maisa Ein Lahatir, there's no reason to be matir, any of the opening up of packages and food. Kevin Shibnei Torah Muatim Bavon Sarabim, I'm Bishabas Daf Kaflamates, Shibamakum Shane Bnei Torah, Yishram Shane Lahatir Kdeshal Yavo Lahakel. In a place that a person lives where there's no Bnei Torah, one should not be makil in front of them. The Roa Ani Shekolshkin Bazer, the Kolshkin Bedurha Umakum, Parch Kibizmanenu, very scary that in our generation, in our place in America, in New York where he was at the time, Kamosenu Shatzarach Lahachmir, one has to be very, very machmir. The aim lekra lo saksha begit and so on, not to tear any paper or any bags or any packages. Don't open anything. That word means retavos hashpartin is, I think, Sprite, or rather Sprite or something like that, or a seltzer. I don't know what he's referring to there exactly. But any bottles or boxes one should not open up. And unless there's a tremendous concern of machmazir of chil Shabbos, and it's greater to open up items instead of being mechal Shabbos, then there's a heter. But because of sardine, that's what it is, yeah?
Sardine.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Okay, so sardines. So then, unless it's a tzarech gadol, could go in sudas and suin, or you invite guests over, and there's going to be embarrassment that you have no soda bottles opened up, that's the only circumstance one's allowed to lichachila open up bottles, cans, and bags on Shabbos. And the Shmir Shabbos says the same thing, number two, lichachila roi v'nachum l'vtoach mibod yom, to open everything up from before Shabbos, all the boxes and bottles and cans and bags before Shabbos. This is lichachila according to Kimat all the poskim. If you know you're going to be eating something or drinking something, open it up before Shabbos. Our whole discussion is going to be, if a person forgot to, or he thought he was going to have enough food and ended up he needed more soda or more chips or a guest came over, in those circumstances, what is a person to do in terms of opening up bags? So let's first address the first question we're going to encounter. The first malacha is that of stira. Stira is destroying a keli, destroying some type of box, a bottle, a can. And the Gemara in Shabbos, in a few places in Shas, talks about whether or not we say ein binin bekelim vein stira bekelim or yesh binin v'stira bekelim. When it comes to kelim, let's talk about something that's attached to the ground, even something attached to the wall, a bookshelf. There is binyan. You could build a bookshelf if it's attached to the ground. Building a house is binyan. Destroying a house is binyan when it's attached to the ground. When something is a keli, something movable, kelim, so there's a machlokas whether or not binyan and stira will apply to that. So let's say building Lego. Lego is kelim. Is that going to be a problem of binyan and stira? It might depend how permanent it is. It might depend on various other issues. So the Gemara says here, ain binyan v'stira kelim. We typically paskin that there is binyan v'stira b'kelim. But the Gra, we'll see later on, holds that there's not. So if you hold that there's no binyan and stira b'kelim, there's no problem of breaking open a can. Of destroying a can, there's no problem at all. If you paskin that, there's no problem of stira b'kelim. But if you hold that stira does apply to kelim, then we have a big problem. How do you open up cans or boxes which are considered kelim? So there's a Gemara in Erev, an interesting Gemara number 4, that tells us in the Mishnah If you place the Erev Chatzer, the person has an Erev combining all the houses and courtyards together, so you need a matzah someplace in the community that's going to be accessible, that everyone's mishtatev in this matzah. The Erev. So where's the Erev place? So let's say Nasu b'Migdal, they place the Erev in a tower somewhere, and they lost the key to get to the tower. So now it's no longer accessible. How are you supposed to get to the matzah that's up in the Migdal? Hareza Erev. The Mishnah says it's still considered Erev. Rabbi Elazar argues, fine. The Gemara says, Amai, why is this a good Erev? Hu b'makom echad ve'eruva b'makom acher. I'm not in the same location where my Erev is. My Erev is stuck in a tower somewhere high up, and I can't access it. And the Gemara says it's not a problem because Rav and Shmuel both have the opinion, Hacha b'migdal shelevanim askinim. We're dealing with bricks. So how does that help if it's in a migdal of bricks? So Rashi explains in number 5, Shenoach l'soso, it's easy to destroy, it wasn't cemented together. You have one brick lined on top of the next brick, on top of the next brick, you just shove it over, the whole thing falls apart. There's no kli, there's no migdal, there's no stira. Since it wasn't built together, it wasn't stuck, there's no issue of destroying it. You just knock over the bricks, and you can access the Erev. And that's why it's okay, even though it seems to be locked up, there's a door that's locked, the walls are not really sturdy walls, you just shove down the walls. Since they were never attached to each other in the first place, there's no problem of knocking it down. Now, there's a Mishnah in Shabbos Daf Kuv Mem Vav, which tells it explicitly, that Shover Adam es hachavis le'echel heimanu gogros. A person can break open a chavis in order to get the grogos, the food that's inside, as long as there are no intentions to make a kli, we'll get to that second half later on. But you're allowed to break open a chavis, a jar, a jug, a box, a bottle, to get to the food that's inside. Well, isn't it a problem of stira? So Tosas asks, the Gemara in Erevin and Gemara in Shabbos seem to say two different things. Why did the Gemara in Erevin say that the only heter to open up the migdal to get to the Erev was to knock down the bricks because they weren't attached? Even if they were attached and cemented, we have the Gemara here, you could break open a chavis, seemingly you could break open a migdal to get to the food that's inside. Just like you could break open the chavis to get to the grogros, you could also break open up the brick walls, knock them down to get to the Erev. Why did the Gemara and Erevin say it's only a situation where they were not cemented together, where they're loosely piled on top of each other, making it very loose? Even if they were attached, there should be a heter to knock down, to do any stir up to get to the food. So Tosas ends up answering in number 7. He says there's a difference between the different materials that were used. The material that was used in Erevin is bricks. Bricks is real strong material. And if it was cemented together, if you broke that, that would be a problem of stira. The Gemara in Shabbos, where you're allowed to open a chavis, is talking about a particular type of material called mustiki. What's mustiki? So Rashi, Tosas rather, going on page number 2, quotes from Rashi and Beya that's talking about a material that was broken, shattered, and they glued them back together. So now it's what they call a kli garu, a very weak type of material, very easily breakable. And when it comes to such a kli, it's no problem of doing stir. You could break it open because it's weak. The Gemara in Erevin was talking about bricks, strong material. If that was cemented and attached to each other, that would be a problem of stir because that's a kli shalem. But by mustiki, which is shattered pieces of glass or whatever the material is that was re-glued together, that's considered kli garu, a very weak kli, and breaking it open is not a problem. So what Tosas is telling us is the following klal. When it comes to a weak kli, a kli garu, there's no problem of stira. You could break open such a kli garu. When it comes to a strong material, let's say a metal material for now. Metal is a strong material that you cannot open. That's considered stira. When it comes to something like plastic, which is a weaker kli garua, seemingly, then one would be allowed to break open the plastic to get to the food that's inside. So it depends on the material, according to Tosas' understanding. Now, there's the opinion of Rashi. Rashi says, on that Mishnah, a different heter, why one is allowed to open up the chavis. He writes in number 8, De ein b'makalkel shum iser b'Shabbos. Very strange language. Sounds like there's no kilkel at all by Shabbos. Meaning, you could destroy anything you want, and there's never, ever a violation. You could go ahead and just rip things up without any purpose. Rip things up, destroy things, take a sledgehammer, just destroy shelves and houses. There's no problem of kilkel at all on Shabbos. And this is, of course, a problem. Why? Because Mefurish Gemara says there's an iser to b'makalkel, at least midirabanan. Midiraisa, there's no problem of kilkel. Midiraisa has to be kilkel al manas. So for example, if you want to do kareya, tearing something, midiraisa is not a problem unless it's al manas litzvor. Unless you want to re-sew it. Like the way it worked, they had curtains in the Mishkan. everything we learned from the Malachas are based on the Mishkan. So the curtain, let's say, had a little rip or a tear in it. So I'm not a sewer or a tailor here, but the way, if you want to sew a little hole, it's very hard. You have to tear a little bit more to get a real stitch going through. So they tore a little bit more in the curtain in order to re-sew it back together better. So it's only when you do a destructive act to do a constructive act. But when you just tear things and destroy things randomly, there's no problem with the Raisa, but the Chachamim say that's Aser Midin Kilkul. So Rashi says there's no Kilkul at all on Shabbos, which is against Mefurish Gemaras. So the Ran says that what Rashi means to say is Kilkul Litzorech Shabbos. Normally speaking, to destroy things, it's Aser to just rip and tear a piece of paper. But if there's a purpose to get to the food inside, then you could tear, then you could destroy to get to the food that's inside. So according to Rashi, the heter is Litzorach Shabbos, which means I could do any material I wanted. He doesn't address the question of the Gemara in Erevin, but I could destroy, if there's food somewhere in a house and the house is locked, I can knock down windows, I can knock down the whole house to get to the food inside, because when it comes to Litzorach Shabbos, there's no problem of kilkul at all. As opposed to Tosfos, it depends on the material that's being used. Tosfos writes only by a kli garua, only a very weak type of material, such as, for example, plastic, is there a heter to destroy that chavis or that bottle to get to that which is inside. How do we paskin? Shulchan Aruch writes in number 10, Ein binin v'stir b'kelim. He paskins, there is no binin v'stir b'kelim. Hani mila, that's only true, she'eino binin mamish kigon chavis. It only comes when it's referring to a real type of material, like a regular, typical chavis. The Ramah says, she'eino machzek is arba msa, we can ignore that for now. She'nishbara v'dibek shivareha b'zavis. Only if it's a material that was initially broken and shattered, that was re-glued together, then yachol l'shavar likach mashi b'socha. Then you could break such a material. But if it's, at the end, if it's a kli shalem, let's use metal as an example, a real serious material, there's no heter to break that open on Shabbos. So people going through the sources said, so we're in big trouble here. How do you open plastic bottles? How do you open tuna cans? How do you open soda cans? How do you open boxes and cartons and cereal boxes? Those are all kli shalems l'chora. Only kli garua, something that was broken, shattered, and then re-glued together, that would be the only example that we have based on the Shulchan Aruch, which seemingly wouldn't apply to any material that we have, unless it's maybe recycled paper, perhaps. But other than that, there would be no heter to open any type of kli, because all our boxes and bottles and stuff are probably considered kli shalem at this stage. So, if we had the Rashi to rely on, the Rashi said, whenever it comes to Tzarech Shabbos, if you open anything you want, then we'd be good. Because according to Rashi, it does not make a difference which material we're opening up. The Be'er Halacha already says we don't pass like Rashi. So we're left with the Shulchan Aruch. How in the world do we have a heter to open up any bottles, any cans, any boxes, if they're all considered a kli shalem? So the Shmir Shabbos writes in number 14, he says that, Ulam Yesha Makilim, he quotes those who are Makil. Now, he doesn't say that's everybody's opinion, but he does quote those who are Makil. Liftoach Kufso Sakayos Obilos Ela She'en Regil Nishamish Ben Shimish Nosef. If they're not reusable, even if they can be reused, if you do not plan on reusing them, they're disposable, then that's considered, what he writes going on to page number 3 in the footnotes, Shmir Shabbos quotes from Shlomo Zalman, that disposable utensils is included in the kli ru'ua, it's kechavish shel mustaki, that we saw on Tosfos, we saw on Shulchan Aruch, that a weak type of material, you could break it open. So too says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, that any of these materials that are not reused, even though they are reusable, but you don't use them, a cereal box, once a person finishes a cereal box, they throw them out. A person uses a soda can, he throws them out. He finishes a soda bottle, he throws it out. Since they are disposable, that's included under the category of chavish al mustaki, a kli garua, and therefore one is allowed to be so sir to destroy such a container.
That would be true even if you're not going to finish it on top. It's still going to be...
Right, so the poskim discuss this. It's a big discussion in the poskim. So let's say a person opens up a big soda bottle, and it's just, they don't finish the soda bottle. So he plans on using the next day and for the rest of the week until it goes flat. So that's not a one-time use. You're using that bottle for multiple days. So what many poskim say within this Rosh Shlomo Zalman is that it's still considered the same first use. It's extended use. But reuse is when you empty the contents and then refill it, that'd be a second use. Some poskim say no. What you have to do is open it, empty everything out, and that's considered disposable. But according to Rosh Hashanah, many say that he permitted the one use, even though the one use may have been extended over the course of a period of time, that would be still considered one use. Now that only deals with the first, yes?
What if a person plans on recycling or getting a deposit back to the can?
So I don't think that would be considered reusable. You know, even though he's not throwing it in the garbage, he's throwing it to recycling, that's still considered just a one use. Right, that's fine. But at least that utensil that he's using is not going to be used again for holding liquid or food in it. So for purposes of eating, it's considered disposable. So that deals with the issue of soser, of destroying a kli, opening up a bottle, opening up a box. The next question is kriya, tearing something open like a bag. Could you tear open a bag of potato chips? So there's a Tosefta, I just brought the Magen Avraham to show that we don't pass like every Tosefta, but the Magen Avraham quotes from this Tosefta, that Korea Adam es ha'or shal pichavis. A person could rip off the leather on top of a jug or jar, v'shel yayin shal maraisa b'vad shalu iskavin lasos zinuk, as long as he doesn't make a nice opening. So this is an example of, let's say, a pudding or yogurt where you just tear off the top seal. The Tosefta, Magen Avraham, and the Mishnah Berurah all bring down, and one's allowed to tear off that top. And the Poskim, to my understanding, all permit one to open up a yogurt and pudding for various reasons. Based on this, we'll see why it's not Korea. You're allowed to do that. So why? So you look at number 18, the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Mem Vav, quotes a Braisa, Choslos shel grogros v'shel tamarim. If you have a basket, Rashi describes this basket, which was made of kapos tamarim, and they formed it in a basket, and they sealed it in such a way to put very bad bad dates to let itself turn into dried dates of some sort. I don't know exactly what it turned out to be, but they let it sit there in this basket. The Braisa says one could be matir mafkiya v'chotech. You could tear open this basket in order to get to the food inside. So Korea, this is Korea. Korea comes to materials that are rippable, terrible, as opposed to soser is talking about kalim. A bag is in a keli. A bag is paper, material type, as opposed to a bottle is a keli. So keli, soser applies to kalim, and Korea applies to materials that are not kalim, such as a bag. So it's a mefurish Gemara here that one's allowed to tear open this bag or basket. So what's the heter? What's the explanation for such a heter? Isn't there a problem of Korea? Oh, but Korea only applies when it's almanah slit for, when you plan on re-sewing. I don't plan on re-sewing this basket once I tear it open. Okay, but still an isser midirabanan to just tear things. I can't go ahead and start tearing paper. So the Beis Yosef quotes from one of the Rishonim, the Kolbo, who explains that Lefisha Kol, number 20, Lefisha Kol Zeh Kemosha Shover Ego Zo Shkedim Bishvil Ha'ochel Shebehem. It's no different when you have a nut, a walnut, a almond, that you crack open the nuts to get to the food inside, that's permitted. 100% permitted. Why? What's the explanation? Isn't it still Korea? What's the heter? How can you tear these things open? So the way they explain this is that the same idea, just by soser, that when you destroy a kli garua, there's no problem of soser, like the mustaki. So when it comes to Korea, when you tear something that's a kli garua, a weak kli, the shell is not considered a kli. If anything, it's a weak kli. You could tear something open that's a kli garua. So too, when it comes to the situation of the basket or potato chips, it's a kli garua. You could therefore tear it open because it's not a kli in the first place. Even though we said it's not kalim, it's a material that's a garua type of material, which therefore there's no kriya going to be applied to potato chip bags. Okay, so now we have, there's no sos there when it comes to a kli garua. And kli garua is being defined by anything disposable. And pretty much all the bags and boxes we're opening are all disposable. So there's no soser, and there's no korea either when it comes to these types of bags.
Regardless of how nice you make that opening.
We'll get to the opening afterwards. Right now we address kriya and stira. We'll get to making the Pesach right now. Okay, now, the one point to be mentioned, the Shmir Shabbos quotes from Rosh Shlomo Zalman that when doing kriya, let's say on a carton of milk, or a carton of orange juice, at least the way they used to make them in the olden days. Now they have like the little twist-offs. But back then, when they had them, you know, glued together on top and you open them with that spout. So if you had the option of ripping that spout open, the glue, or should you tear in the side somewhere along the way, Rosh Shlomo Zalman explains in number 22, it's best to not tear by the glue. Better to tear into the actual carton and rip it open, maybe stick a knife in there and tear it open is better than tearing the top where the glue is connected. And the reason for that is, he quotes from the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that Korea, I didn't want to get to all the lumbus because itself is very complicated, but when it comes to Korea, according to some posts, can only apply when you've attached two things together. when you have a material that's made as one unit like paper, there's no karei here. Karei is only when you have something that's sewed together and you unsew it. You remove the sewing. Stickers, glue. So therefore, according to this post, we think karei only applies by glued. It's better to tear from the actual material, the carton, where it's one unit, tear in that area. That's most advisable according to Rosh Shulman Zalman and many other posts.
So looking at that, when you're putting cup, so to say, where you're not really tearing anything, you're separating the lid from the bottom, the base of the pudding, you better take a knife and cut around that as opposed to peeling off.
Great question. So what they say there, some advise to actually do that, but it's challenging sometimes because it might be letters or pictures. Some advise that. Others say that the glue there, which you could apply to our case as well, but the glue there by the case of the yogurt was there to be temporary. It wasn't meant to be permanent. It was there to be when you go home from buying it from the store to open it right away.
You're gonna, carton not?
So they say the same thing. So some based on that svara, so why not by the carton as well? So you're right that some say that same heter, but since you have the options by the carton more so than by the yogurt's harder to cut around, they advise by the yogurt you have no other choice to rip it off, and by the cartons to tear it right in. Now, other poskim may argue. I'm just saying all the different opinions out there. But there's certainly, what I've seen, the real poskim do permit ripping off the top of the yogurt. Now, I didn't consult with Rebbe on all these different matters, so there might be different shitas here.
No, taking off the covers, that's pretty much the consensus that I've seen also. Okay. Take off the covers, it's okay.
Okay. So, but some do say, but even the carton, since it's glued together, only temporary till you get home and want to open up the carton, some say on those grounds it would be permitted to open up even from that area. And there might be other issues, as we'll see, in terms of making that spout in the cartons of milk or cartons of oranges. That's another factor to keep in mind.
You also close it again.
But closing again won't be sealed shut, though. You're not gluing it shut. So.
And the gluing there is lefi, the kavana. It's about the kavana. That the kavana, when somebody glued it, was to be open, let's say, by the pudding.
Exactly. So I'll give you an example. These are one of the examples that are really not meant to be outside of the base medrash. Only for Talmid Chachamim, but I'll mention it anyway, since everyone here is spending the Sunday morning is obviously Talmid Chachamim. But we have to still keep in mind, Moshe finds in the beginning not to really rely on this heter lichachila. That if a person comes home and he has his dry cleaning tag stuck on, or maybe he has his price tag stuck on his shirt he just bought, so what are you supposed to do? So Post can point out, again, not a heter to mention outside the base medrash, that one is allowed to rip it off because it was there only temporarily. To come home with it. It wasn't meant to be there permanently.
Every wife knows
that heter. Oh, yeah? They rely on the heter.
Isn't it makir patish?
Which part?
Taking it off.
No, because makir patish is only if it's unusable beforehand. You could still wear the shirt with the tag there.
With the tag?
It's usable.
It's usable?
Yeah, it's still considered usable. It has the function's still there. The example of makir patish, the Gemara talks about, let's say you have a shirt that did not have the hole of the neck. So that's not usable. By you opening it up, you've makir patish, you've created.
There's cases where you have utensils and you put the finishing on it. Sounds like it was a rough thing before that could have been usable, but you intended to make it with a nice finish.
That's a great question. So that's a situation where you've actually changed the actual kli itself. By the tag, you're not making the shirt any better. It's something separate from the shirt. You're removing it from the shirt. The shirt's finished and ready to be worn. Even by the case of a kli, let's say, which is usable, but you could still add finishing touches to the actual kli, that would also be considered makir patish, to my understanding. So I'm just pointing out, from this case of ripping off the laundry tag, or the price tag, you see when something's temporary, there are heterim for ripping it off, just like the glue by the cover of the yogurt or the pudding, and perhaps also by the carton's milk as well.
And the case would be different, where, let's say, if there was a thread that you wouldn't be able to pull off versus the tag, the thread would be probably makir patish versus a tag, because it's part of the baguette.
Interesting. And pulling the thread might be other issues. You're pulling some of the thread along with that. Might be issues of orig and stuff. I imagine ripping off the thread would be more of a problem, though. Yes, because it wasn't temporary. Yeah, exactly. It wasn't meant to be there in the first. It wasn't meant to be ripped off.
But it's the final. You're finishing like the
you're saying it's. I would say it's korea midir banan. It's no amnas lit for. You're saying it's a chayiv midiraisa because it's makir patish.
If there's a thread by the button, where you're finishing.
I wonder. I'm not sure. I wonder. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure. Not sure. Okay. Now let's get to the question of asiyas pesach, making an opening. Another factor to keep in mind: when you open up a box, you open up a bottle, you open up a can, you're making a pesach, an opening. So we saw the Mishnah before. Let's read it again, number 23, the bottom of page 3. The Mishnah Shabbos Kuf Memvav, Shover Adam Es HaChavis Lechol Heimanu grogros ubilvaj leiskavin lasus kli. As long as you don't have intention of making a kli, says Rashi, linokvo yafe bePesach noe. What it means to say is you cannot make a nice opening. An opening, and the Gemara goes on to give examples, an opening big enough to draw the food out or draw the liquid out, that's considered Pesach, and that's not allowed. Why not? What's the problem with that? So what we're just speaking about, the Rambam says is a problem of Makiv Patish. Right before this, there's no spout. You've now created the spout, you've made a usable spout, that's Makiv Patish. You've finished the Kli, making it something usable now. So that's a big problem. And Ramosha writes, based on this, in number 26, if you look in the bold, Vafagav de Bekofsos, Chalav, the cartons of milk, Kavu, Mishum, Nek of Yashan, even though when they made the cartons in the factories, the cartons were probably flat. And then they went through some machine and made it into like the box shape, and then they glued it on the top. So initially there was no closure. It was an open, flat piece of cardboard. So even though it was the hole existed beforehand, it's not a new hole that you're creating. Mikol makom, midinistama pesach. Once they sealed it in the factory, yafa, very well. Batel pesach harishon va'osa nekev ka'osa nekev chadash. When you open that carton up, even though there was once historically a opening, once it was sealed up, it undid that hole, and you now have created a new opening and a violation of makiv patish. So Moshe says you can't open it up, not because of Korea, but because of Makiv Patish. You've made an opening, you made a spout now. That's the problem here. So if it intended to be open, so that helped us with Korea.
You recorded that by the...
Right, so that was with Korea, though. In terms of Korea, you can rip things that are temporary. But not by a CS Pesach, you cannot, if you're recording Moshe at least, that hetter doesn't apply. Now, there are poskim who say, come on, gluing it together does not undo the hole that existed before him. Some poskim say there is no problem of opening up even after it was glued together. So these are, again, there's yesh v'yesh in every situation. That's why I don't say anything to anybody who you see doing one of these. Rambam says, makbe patish. You created this hole, now it's usable.
That's the difference between the tea, because the tea, you can wear the shirt without a tea, you can't get to the milk without opening it.
Exactly. That's why the milk, opening the milk is
matter. This becomes a big malacha with all of these types of kalim or juice boxes and cans.
Yeah. Yeah, so now, by a juice box, I'd say they have the hole in it. So that's a hole that exists. It's just being covered up by a little seal, similar to the chavis. We had the ore ripping the leather off, like the yogurt. They all say you could pop that hole to get the shirt on. That's not a problem, because the Pesach's there.
Soda can,
but let's say making a hole in the top, not by the where you pull the little tag in, but let's say you make a hole, jam a hole in the top at the Pesach, that could very well be a Makiv Patish.
So just because when they sealed that, let's say the old milk cartons, when they sealed that, they sealed it well, but they only sealed it for you to open it later on.
Exactly.
So the good sealing, so then it should be that when you close something tight, really tight, kiloy, it's the same strength as that bonding. And Ramesh would say you mevatel the first Pesach, and then the next time you can't open it up again on Shabbos. the kavana is that it should be open again. You're just doing it so that it should stay well.
Just because you're so strong, you close the soda cap very tight, it's not attached to each other. But when you use glue, you've really created a kli that, even though you're right, practically you could put the soda bottle, throw it around the house, nothing will come out, but you have not attached it to each other at all. So I think it'll be different.
Like Rebbe was saying with the soda can, if you put the tab, that's a yafa, that's like a nice opening. But if you put a knife in it, it's not a pesach yafa.
Right. So
it's a gouge in the top.
It's a good, very, very good question. So we're not going to get to such details about that. But the Gemara says the definition of a pesach is not how nice it looks, like a nice circular hole per se. It's where it's able to have liquid pass through and get something out of it. That's considered a pesach. Now there are situations where you could create a hole that's destructive, which might not be considered. If I take that kli and just tear it open, that's not considered Pesach. I just destroyed the kli. There's no kli to talk about a Pesach. So if I want to open up a bag of chips, if I just tear it open without tearing letters, that's not a Pesach. That's just destroying a kli, destroying a bag. But here, where you keep the kli and make a hole on top, so you can just pour the soda from the top in the can, that might very well be a problem. Makiv Patish. Maybe I haven't gotten to the other poskim who say maybe it is.
Pesach Yafeh versus Pesach is not, there's no nafkamina.
Yafeh doesn't mean how it looks, it means if it's effective. Function. Exactly. And by the way, on all these, I'm just laying out the issues. certainly ask one's posek and Rebbe what to and the different application. I couldn't go with Rebbe every single application because there's so many of them, but certainly ask Shai. But now you know what to ask and what to look for when asking Shai. But hopefully I'll bring out some of the points, and hopefully everyone will open everything up before Shabbos to start with. Shouldn't have any Shailas to deal with afterwards. Okay, let's go further. Next issue is Binyan Kalim. The Binyan Kalim is a situation of making a kli. So the big application here is when you have, let's say, the potato chip bag. I open it up, assuming I don't make a Pesach. Let's say it's not a Pesach. But I open it up. Now the bag has a new function. I could reuse the bag, put things in and out. So now it holds things. Before it protected things, now it could hold something for me to put in and take out. Or a soda bottle. I take the cap off. The cap was once a seal. Now it's separated from that little ring, that soda bottle cap. Now this cap, in theory, could be used as a kli for something else like that. So whenever I created a new function, I've done a binyan now. I've violated the melacha of binyan. So is there any heter for these types of these types of openings? So Rav Shlomo Zalman has this very well-known heter when it comes to bottle caps. He says if you jam a hole in the top of the bottle cap, then you've nothing has happened yet. You made a hole. And then when you undo the cap, you take off that cap, you can't use it as a cup, even though it's a small cup, because there's a hole in it. So you've preempted the creation of binyan, a violation of binyan, by you making the hole beforehand. Now, some take issue. The Oruch HaShavas quotes on post, and we say, wait a second. The moment you put a hole in the cap, you just made a hole now, and now it's a Pesach, and that's Makom HaPatish, because now you could take the soda and squeeze the soda out of the top. So Rav Shlomo Zalman's response to that is, that since it's only a, since you only plan using, he was, the disposable is the heter he uses for all the melachos. Since that hole is only, it's a disposable kli, since you're only going to use it one time, it's not considered in a CS Pesach by making that hole. So I'm just playing Yesh V'Yesh, yes. No, open the cap is not making a hole because a hole exists on the bottle itself. Plastic bottle, the hole is there. You're just revealing the hole. The problem of opening the soda bottle, the hole exists. If you're using a regular hole, you're not making a hole, you're just revealing it. But once you take that cap off, so for example, those Pellegrino Seltzer. So if you take that cap off, it does not separate from the ring. So that situation is mutter because you've just popped it off. Nothing has cracked off the ring. You haven't created anything new that didn't exist beforehand. So that's permitted. The hole existed on the top of the soda bottle or the seltzer bottle, and the kli was always a kli. Just pop it off. It was always that same cup. But when you remove it from the ring, so then the problem is you've separated, it's no longer a seal, now it's a new cup you've created, but the hole on the bottle always existed. When I pop a hole in the top of the soda bottle, though, the cap, that's a new hole that I've created, if I do that way. That's what some tying against Rosh Hashanah Zalman. That's what Rosh Hashanah Zalman says. That's his response is, it's disposable.
Why do you make a hole if the cap's disposable anyway?
So that's another issue, whether disposable and plastics are considered kalim. So he thinks that in terms of the kalim, he thinks the disposal won't help. I guess it's a good point, a very good point, actually. In terms of creating the kli as a cup, he doesn't want to rely on the heter, I guess, of being disposable. In terms of making the hole, he thinks that is, since it's a disposable hole, I hear it. It's a very good question.
Is disposability based on regular use or personal use? So if I have a small plastic bottle, so chances are, after I'm done using it, I'm going to leave it and I'm going to fill it up with water from my sink, let's say, because I want to, you know, because it's a small bottle that fits. So is the disposability of that bottle based on what a normal person does or based on what I intend to do or don't intend to do when I open it up?
It's a great question. I don't know.
It must be. Well, it seemingly, if he's worried about a cap, it's an objective thing that nobody, who would ever use a cap for a cup? It's like an halacha. You don't get a reuse out of it. It's even considered a cup, but he's gracious for that, so then it must be that it can be used by one person somewhere for a thing. Otherwise, there would be no reason to worry about that cap.
It's a good time. Yeah,
the cap already before it was put on top of the bottle.
So once they sealed it on top with the ring, they explain it. It's now being functioned as a cover, and it's part of the bottle itself and part of that seal. Once you snap it off, you've created a new function of a cleat. But if it doesn't snap off, it just pops off. That was a cup, and now a cup, and then a cup, and is a cup, and what was a cup?
In the factory, before it was put on, it was some kind of cleat.
Right, but now once they change it, but the same thing when they glue together that carton, that gluing undoes the hole that was once there, the seal is going to be... Yes, exactly, we'll get, yeah.
The ring
The ring.
That ring is not a kli.
No, the ring makes the kli. It loses status of being a kli. It now makes it into a seal.
So there's a new kli because the ring is not there anymore.
Exactly. Exactly. So Josh made a great point about there's a distinction in many poskim about what type of cap we're using. Is it plastic versus metal? So Rav Shlomo Zalman is well known for saying that when it comes to a metal cap is the only time where it's a problem of making, do you have to make that hole? But plastic, since plastic is more disposable, plastic might not be considered clean in general, more so than metal. So then one does not have to make that hole in the top of the soda bottle. You could just open it up. The average if a person didn't have it open, you could open it up. Many rely on that. Many don't. So let's say in my in-law's house, so I'm the Shabbos guy who opens up all the plastic soda bottles if they weren't opened before him. My brother-in-law's rely on me, but at the same time, I'll get to your question in a second. So this gets to a situation, let's say you're at the table with a Sephardi, or you're at the table with me, who opens up soda bottle caps. Can you ask me to open up the soda bottle for you? Can I be your Shabbos guy? Milakim, right. Is it Milakim? Maybe I can't even touch your guy either. So.
You married them.
You married their daughter.
What?
You married their daughter.
Better take on my minhagim, not hers.
Oh, yeah, I'm merely Yisrael. They use the term, I'm merely Yisrael. Somebody's Makabal Shabbos Mivayidyain earlier. And the person that's up to the other person is not Shabbos. Those can use the term Amir Li Yisrael.
I want to speak about that next week or maybe in 2 weeks about Tosefa Shabbos and that Zinyanim.
Is that second day, that applies second day Yantif in Eretz Yisrael also the same idea?
Yeah, same idea also perhaps, second day Yantif. But I think it's different, I think it's a different, maybe I'll speak about that next week also.
It's like I don't carry the Eruv and my wife holds my Tadis.
Right. Right. So,
on the different halachas with the bottle caps as opposed to first, second day.
There is a difference between the two, yes.
I'm saying on this Indian specifically.
In this Indian, I didn't see his opinion. I saw what most postmen that I saw in the situation, if I'm at your table and you want that soda bottle open, you cannot ask me to open it up. If I happen to open it up, then you could take that soda bottle. You could drink from it. But if I open it up, if you cannot direct me and ask me to do that for you. I know, Ramiz would be considered a mira, at least by a milakam. I imagine also by a mirli so would also be a problem.
We're both going to benefit from it? We're both going to drink from it?
We're both going to drink from it. If I end up drinking from it, so then it's permitted, but you cannot ask me to do that for you. And I think Ramiza would be I wonder placing in front of me, like closer to me, that's not Ramiza, that's just like creating a situation. And I start coughing and nothing at the table, so I'm not sure if that's considered Ramiza or not.
The possible that the Pesach has to end, the Rambam says, She'enazo hachnes ula haitzi.
Right.
You've been talking more about now you can take it out. But some holes, like the hole in the cap, you can squeeze out, but nobody pours in through
Right, so it's very technical. How big, it's very technical how big the hole has to be.
Yes. Is that halachically defined, a Pesach, do the poskim all hold, or is that just the Rambam?
No, the Gemara brings it down. The Gemara says, Midiraisa, if it has to be lehotzi lehachnis, it's deraisa, but midirbanon, if it's simply lehotzi, it still would be midirbanon, a problem of makom v'fatish. So on the issue again of the soda bottle, let's say a person accidentally opened up a soda bottle, or let's say one of those grape juice bottles they have in Eretz Yisrael, like they still have the metal caps in Eretz Yisrael, which according to all poskim, you cannot open it up unless you made a hole. So accidentally you opened it up, you took the metal cap off. So now the halacha is, the Gemara tells us that Maisa Shabbos, you can't get hanah from any Maisa Shabbos. Any melacha that a Jew did on Shabbos, someone cooked food on Shabbos, you cannot eat from that food. So does that mean now I cannot drink from this bottle of wine, a bottle of grape juice? So they say you can, because the problem of opening the cap is a problem. I can't use the cap as my coast now, but the wine, there's nothing done to the wine and the grape juice, so I can take the grape juice and drink from the grape juice. So, okay, it seems like there's a lot of questions, so let's stop now, and Mirza Hashem will pick up on this topic, I think, next week. We'll finish the rest of the lachos, and we'll get to some serious applications, and maybe I'll get a chance to talk to Rebbe about more of the details of them, and buy myself some more time. Okay.
One page. Just one page. One page. The first side is where it says, Ozdalad, Reishnun, Hey. Let me tell you what we're going to talk about just for a few minutes. There was an opening that was made. We're talking about Binyan Stir Bekalim, and Mekalkel, and so on. There was an opening that was made, an effort that was made by an individual, a group of individuals, to create a mechanism by which people will be able to turn lights on Shabbos. I understand this is a very big hack. And this individual called me 2 years ago. I think the person that was behind it called me 2 years ago, a very fine person, a very sweet guy, called me 2 years ago. He wanted to know if I would agree and sign a letter or something like that. And he wanted to explain to me how the device works as far as the issues of grammar concerned, direct, indirect, as far as Psik Resha. As far as Hilchas Shabbos is concerned, the Rishis, the Rabbanim, he wanted to explain to me, and I said that I'm not interested. I don't want to have a discussion about the particulars of the mechanism. I'm telling you offhand, there's no way in the world that I would ever, ever agree to such a thing. I think it's a tremendous kilkel in Kedusha Shabbos. And I think that you have to be very, very careful. Shabbos is Makana for her covet, and I think you should be very careful and speak to great people, and this is not a good idea, in my opinion. And I hope you haven't invested money into this, and you're just thinking about it. He said he already had invested quite a bit of money, and there are people that told him it's okay. In the meantime, I don't know what happened over the past couple of years. I guess they're working on this and trying to perfect the device. And in the meantime, just recently, I don't know if it's on the market yet. Maybe I don't know, but this all now. There's a very strong campaign that was made to market this device. And apparently there's been some misrepresentation or claims of misrepresentation on the part of certain Rabbanim that the public's being told that these Rabbanim completely approved of this so-called Shabbos switch. And the Rabbanim are saying it's not true. They only said under certain conditions. If there's a chola, these are things. Similar devices have been used in the HSL, in Shari Tzedek, in other hospitals. There's a homachon, Somet, and there's a machon, Reb Levitzok Halperin, in Yerushalayim, that have been using and have been producing these devices for hospitals and for the army for many, many years to try to minimize Chil Shabbos in these situations where there's a sakana and so on. But as far as marketing for the general public, Ki'ilu, there are a bunch of people saying that one can use this to turn lights on and off on Shabbos. So there's been a very, very strong outcry on the part of some Choshev Rabbanim in Queens who were quoted as permitting this. And there's a dayan in Williamsburg who claims that he wrote at the bottom of the letter that, of course, this is only a heter that I'm writing as far as a chol is concerned in a hospital or whatever, and that was actually separated from the rest of the letter. In other words, there's been something not entirely kosher about this kosher switch. The Shabbos switch is not entirely kosher. At least that's what some of the Rabbanim are claiming. And I saw just last night, somebody showed me last night that there is a letter that's circulating that's signed by Rav David Feinstein and by Rav Belsky, by Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky and by Rav Miller, who's a very big Talmud Chacham in Toronto. There's a letter that's circulating that says very clearly that as far as Hilchos Shabbos is concerned, based upon the information that they have, that there are very, very serious problems as far as the Psik Resha, the issue of Psik Resha and the issue of Grammar, that they have not been resolved just because of the complicated, very, very, very advanced method by which it works, which I read about how it works. I'm not going to go into now. The same way that I didn't go into that in a discussion with him because I wasn't interested. I mean, I'm interested in terms of the lumdis, how does it work, but I'm not interested as far as the halach is concerned because there's a much bigger issue. And Rabelsky touched upon it at the end of his letter that I saw last night. Rabelsky touched upon it. He was deeply disturbed by the fact. I didn't see any of the advertising. My wife saw the advertising. She said it was it was horrible. But the advertising for this gives the impression, this is what Rabelsky was writing in the letter, the advertising gives the impression that Shabbos is really very, very hard to keep, and it's sort of a drag. And we have this that could make your Shabbos much more pleasant. This is going to make Shabbos more pleasant, and you'll enjoy Shabbos because of this device. And Rabelsky, and Rav David Feinstein, the others who signed Rabelsky's letter are obviously in agreement that the whole svara is very, very fakrum. The whole svara of of Shabbos, which is very frumpt. And then, of course, that leads to all kinds of discussions. Well, then how can we have Shabbos clocks? And how can we have other things to make life easier? And what exactly is wrong with the fellow's svara of increasing the onik Shabbos, so to speak, that people have? So there's a very basic, and we'll just start today, and Mitchum will continue maybe over the next week or two. There's a very basic area in halacha and hilchas Shabbos that I've always had trouble with, and the reason I've always had trouble with it is because it's the guidelines are very, very unclear, and it's very hard to get a sense of how exactly you define uvda d'chol. It's an area in hilchas Shabbos that we didn't really talk much about in yeshiva. There were certain broad, very broad strokes that we heard of and we were familiar with, but unlike the melachas of Shabbos, which we're just now learning as far as Korea and Makabah Patish and so on, where there are very, very clearly defined yidorim of how these melachas function. We just don't know them, and we have to learn them. But there are very clearly defined definitions. There are clearly defined gedarim of the lamates malachas and the toldos and the drabonis and so on. But there's this very hazy, fuzzy area that's called uvda d'chol, uvdin d'chol, weekday type of activities. Weekday type of activities. And what exactly makes a certain Pu'ula, what makes a certain activity into weekday activity? How do you define that? How do you define that? So there's a very important hakadama that we have. You know the parish Tiferes Yisrael and the Mishnais? All the Mishnais, Tiferes Yisrael. So Tiferes Yisrael wrote a very, very important hakadama to Hilchos Shabbos called Kelis Shabbos. And there, he lays out three basic definitions of uvda d'chol, weekday activities that are forbidden on Shabbos, and he tries to, and he does a very good job, doesn't need anybody, doesn't need our haskama, he tries to bring a number of examples from all over Shas and Poskim to categorize uvda d'chol into these different three types. The first is the Kalkel Shabbos. The first is that there are certain things that Chazal restrict with because that activity resembles one of the lamates malachas. Now, why isn't it a derabbanan if it resembles one of the lamates malachas? So he demonstrates how there are certain things that are far enough away from any derais or derabbanan, yet there is some resemblance to one of the lamates malachas. We're not going to go into this right now, and that's a type of the chol. The second type he talks about is that there are certain pu'ulas that Chazal were mishayer could potentially lead to isurim deraisa, and Chazal, with their wisdom, were mishayer that regarding these things, one has to be careful. For instance, medida, measuring things on Shabbos. What's the malacha? So the chacham were mishayer b'chachmasam that this is something that is always done when a person during the week is working. During the week, he's always measuring, and they were mishayer that this is something that could lead to an issa deraisa. And the third, that the Kalkel Shabbos that the first identifies is there are activities that require torach gadol. For instance, he said a person is moving around the furniture on Shabbos. So, is there any malacha? Is there any issue of mukta? When there's no issue of mukta, so schlepping around heavy items, again, I'm not talking about outdoors where there are other issues, but in the house, schlepping around heavy things. So there are certain activities that are torach gadol, and those are uvdin d'chol, and the Tiferes Yisrael brings a number of examples. There is, however, a fourth geder in uvda d'chol that the Tiferes Yisrael is not focused on, and in my opinion, that's really the main question when it comes to this issue of the kosher or the Shabbos switch, whatever it's called. Which I'm hoping that I feel bad. The fellow probably spent a lot of money, but I'm hoping that the whole thing will just disappear, and won't remain an issue, and it will be taken off the internet or the market, wherever it's being sold. This fourth is discussed in a very, very clear way in a wonderful sefer that came out a relatively short time ago that's called Uvdin Dechol. So it's around 500 pages on this subject of Uvdin Dechol. It's scary just to see it, just to leaf through the sefer. I've had only a chance to learn around a third of it, but it tackles an area of Hilchos Shabbos that we're very unfamiliar with for the most part, except for Big Talmud Chacham, we're very unfamiliar with. And it's this fourth area of Uvdin Dechol that I want to learn together with you, because I think it touches upon our whole attitude regarding Shabbos. It reflects upon how wrong the advertising. I didn't see it, but I was told how wrong that way of advertising a Shabbos switch. How wrong the concept is, and how wrong the advertising is. How misguided it is, and how much against the whole way that Chazal saw Shabbos. And you can make all the chilukim you like. What about this? What about Shabbos clock and so on? We need to understand this a little bit more. So this sefer was written by a Talmud Chacham Hazal. His name is Rav Churiel Ochian, a Svardi. And where you see it says, Oz Dalet, Ofen Revi'i, Be'isser Uvdin Dechol. We'll just start and we'll finish from Yitzhak next week. But I wanted to learn it inside. It's very, very important. Vata achas sheharachnu l'hor ha-shleish ha-ofanim ha-mavorim b'sefer kalkelus ha-shabbos. So he was working on the three gedarim of the Tiferes Yisrael. Now he says yesh l'das sheyesh na ofan nosaf shel uvdin dechol sheshmito ha-kalkelus ha-shabbos. There is a fourth type of uvdin dechol which we're going to see that the poskim discuss extensively that the Tiferes Yisrael really didn't focus on. For who dvarim ha'asur mishum etzem hayosam ma'isim shederach la'asosam b'chol. There are certain types of activities that are forbidden on Shabbos because etzem hayosam ma'isim shederach la'asosam b'chol, because they are the type of activities that are done during the week. Now, what does that mean? Shayidei asayosam nireis ha'Shabbos ke'echad mimei ha'chol. There are certain things that if we would continue to do them on Shabbos, since they're so commonly done during the week, it would change Shabbos. Shabbos would have the appearance of being like any other day of the week. Ve'oshum chazal mishum zilusa de Shabbos. Now that's the term that we need to engrave deeply into our minds, and unfortunately, the well-intentioned individual who's behind this whole thing has not been paying attention to zilusa de Shabbos. Zilusa, a zilzal, a cheapening of Shabbos. Hanigzim din kavod Shabbos, which is halacha in the din of kavod Shabbos. Al av she'ein behem srach v'chshash melacha v'lo tirchi yaseira. Now the Tiferes Yisrael was talking about activities that where Chazal saw with a chshash of alamates melacha, a chshash, even distant, or there is a problem that it's a tirchi yaseira. In this fourth category that we're going to talk about, that is a halacha in Kovod Shabbos, even when there's no chshash bichlal of any kind of a halacha, and it doesn't involve any tircha. Nevertheless, there's zilusa de Shabbos. V'ofen zemuchach mikama makomus mesech de Shabbos mesech de beya she'ein kan hamokim laharuch lefartom ach yivoaru kol erchad vech mimkama bez Hashem. So let's begin. We'll do a little bit now. The first place we find in the Achronim, where this is addressed very, very directly in terms of defining this as a type of Uvdin Dechol, is in his Sefer, the Tshuvas Hisar Shuv from Rabbi Shimon Sofer, from the Chassam Sofer's grandson. So in Chelek Aleph Simkuf Yivtes, in his Eres Tshuva, so Reb Shimon Sofer writes the following: Loma hechmiru chachmenu zal harbe ma'od b'Shabbos v'yantiv b'dover shenira ke'uvda d'chol. Why is it that we find that by Shabbos v'yantiv the Chazal were very machmir those things that appeared like weekday activities? K'demetzino harbe pama b'gemar b'poskim. Nir l'ni yizdaiti tam dover zed, d'chsiv, turn the page over, it says in Yeshaya, L'kadosh Hashem mechubad. Now we're familiar with that pasuk. That is the makar of all of the dinim of Kavod Shabbos. the pasuk in Navi, L'kadosh Hashem Mechubad. It's referring to Shabbos there. And it says, L'kadosh Hashem Mechubad. V'darsha Chazal, and the Gemara famously darshans over there in Shabbos, Kuf Yutes, Kabdeyu B'ksus Nekia. The Gemara tells us, how are we to fulfill this requirement of Kovet Shabbos? What is meant by Kovet Shabbos? So the Gemara there gives examples. The list is not exhaustive, but these are examples of Kovet Shabbos. Kabdeyu b'ksus nikia, with clothing that's clean. Uba meichel uba mishta, of course, with special foods. Uba zemekayim kvayd kedushas hayom lechabdal. And through these acts of kavod, we're mechabed Shabbos. Kmo k'sheba oreach choshuv v'nichbad shemekablim also debegadim noim, that when a choshuv, a guest comes, you dress for the occasion. Umadlikin lechvodu neiras harbe v'oisin seudos gedolos v'chashuvos lechvodu, the things that we do. So we have candles for Shabbos, we have special clothing, we have special seudos, and so on. Kein tzrichin lechabed Shabbos v'yotev v'zen nilmad min haposik l'kadosh Hashem mechubad. The Kadosh Hashem, Mechubad. Shabbos is Kadosh Hashem, Mechubad. Im kein. Im oisim dover, hagam she'en bo mishum malacha. Therefore, this Arish Shuvah says, if you do something, hagam, that there's no problem of any malacha in Hilchah Shabbos. K'moit ki eshaifer or Rediyas HaPas. Two famous examples from the Gemara itself. Practicing the shofar on Shabbos. Or Rediyas HaPas, a certain chochma. So the Gemara calls it a chachma, a certain chachma in how the breads were scraped off the sides of the oven. The breads, of, as you recall in the time of Chazal, they were baked on the sides of the ovens, and how they were removed from the ovens. Rediyas HaPas. Therefore, such activities come at kishof Rediyas HaPas she'enem asur mishum gzeira otu malacha deraisa. According to the consensus of the Rishonim and the simple pshat in the Gemara, we're not dealing here with the malacha. The Gemara says befeirush that it's not a malacha; it's a chachma, not a malacha. So there's no we're not in the area, we're not in that zone of lametes malachas. Rakat kia batzmusa he shvus kedisa b'taisiv esreish parak dal de Rosh Hashanah ubechulin tkiya shayfa begvulin v'gam im ein boim yishum gzeir otu malacha deraisa. Don't become confused with the issue of Tkiya Shofar and the chashash that Chazal had that somebody will carry it to Rosh Hashanah. The act itself of blowing a shofar, there is no malacha deraisa, there's no gzeira else of deraisa. Right, there's something else with the chiv and Rosh Hashanah of taking it to somebody. There are certain things that are done bekvius week on a weekday. Imkein. The Sarit Shuva Reb Shimon Sofer explains, "Im yasku b'dvarim ke'elu b'Shabbos v'yontiv, if we are going to begin to be Isaac in these things that we know are not melachas, but they are kavua as activities that take place during the week. Im yasku b'dvarim ke'elu b'Shabbos v'yontiv, hein yechidim, hein rabim, hein bebayis, hein bechutz, whether individuals." Whether many people do it inside the house or outside, as near of enidma also hayom ke'echad mimeachol. Again, it's hard to define exactly what these activities are, and it's a very interesting discussion. But by doing these things, near of enidma also hayom ke'echad mimeachol, the day is going to begin. Shabbos is going over time is going to begin to appear like a weekday. It's going to become a weekday. Could you imagine people going to the home and turning on and pressing the light switch? Whenever they walk into a dark room, they press the light switch. What I understand in this technology, the way that it works is that you don't have to wait long at all. Most of the time, you don't have to wait bichlal. The way it works with the mechanism, and just everybody would be walking in and turning lights on and off.
That
means the Sarish Shuva says that means. That the day that Shabbos, because of this these activities, will no longer be mechubad l'hiskadis b'kedusha. So v'nirik yom chol, Shabbos begins to look like a yom chol. I live right by. I always point in. I have a very bad sense of direction, but I live near the baseball school, the Woodmere Academy's field, and the weather starts to get nice.
And there are kids that are out there. Yesterday they were already, even though it was still chilly, they're already out there in shorts and T-shirts and with their gloves and bats and balls and so on, with all of the paraphernalia that's necessary to play. And everybody's out there, and there are some parents that are watching and cheering on. And how do we understand this? If there's lu yitzu, that there were no issues of any malach at all, which I'm not 100% certain about. I'm not going to there right now. There are certain things, and again, we need Talmid Chacham, we need Gedolei Yisrael to define these activities as Uvda Dechol, that as a result of certain things, that the day simply loses its Kedusha. It begins to resemble a Yom Chol. Va'ovrim al mitzvahs v'l'kedosh Hashem mechubad. And you're over on the mitzvah of l'kedosh Hashem mechubad, sh'mesayim b'zeh ha'posuk, ki pi Hashem diber. As it says in Posuk, at the end, of that pasuk in Yeshaya, ki pi Hashem diber, that the mouth of Hashem has spoken. Va'ayin shom shar devarv, in the Asaris Shuvish HaNokat, shu isa deraisa gomer. That's a tremendous chiddush. The pasuk is a Navi. Most learn that we're talking about Divrei Kabbalah, we're not talking about a deraisa. The Asaris Shuvah learns that it's a deraisa mamish. Akedei shetoma madua hecha she'iyev shal lashonus shari v'zal lashonu, v'alta she'iveni mahad yisa bebeitza, im iyev shal lashonus mutter, v'im uvdu d'chol deraisa hu, I'm not going to go into it right now. The chilukim of Efshel Lashanus, Eif Shel Lashanus, this view of the Hisaris Tshuva that it could be a deraisa, that's according to most, that's an extreme view. But he says, V'chein b'hemshach kosav, aval shar uvdin d'chol she'enim letzarech olcho nefesh, osim hatar. Uvdin the chol that are not letzarech olcha nefesh, talking about anyantiv, are osim hatorah v'chu. Ukein ze in ozbeitz, ukein ze kosa b'sefer k'tzos ha-shulchan, shehevish arba ofanim shul uvdin the chol, b'ofen harishon kosa b'zeh l'shem. So the k'tzos ha-shulchan writes the following. Al dover ar dvar shekol ha-isser, Shabo mishum uvde de chol shemachal beze kovet haShabbos umakar bedrashes Chazal al aposuk vikibadetol me'asos drachecha, that we honor Shabbos by doing things differently. Shloi hehi, the Gemara says shloi hehi luchach shel Shabbos ki hi luchach shel chol, that even a psiyagas is forbidden on Shabbos. Not midaraisa, but midivek kabbala. How a person walks on Shabbos is not running. You need a whole heter. There's a reshash on Shabbos. The whole question of if it's raining on Shabbos, you're allowed to run to shul. You get caught in the rain. So what's the difference of psia gasa in order to get out of the rain? And it's a very vigorous, the way that a person walks on Shabbos is slowly. Hilucha b'chol. Shabbos is a different way of walking on Shabbos, to be more relaxed, not a psia gasa. And the definition of that is that you shouldn't walk on Shabbos the way that you walk chol. And he writes in the Sefer Max Elio, let's say there's a certain thing, again, I want to repeat, That Rav David Feinstein, Rav Belsky, and the other poskim hold that the issue of malacha is involved with the Shabbos switch, and that it is not, and that there is a problem of psikresha, and it is not enough of a grama that one would be permitted lechatchila to turn the switch on, with the exception of a chol lechas hashalom. But lu yitzu, we're talking about shelo yavi ha'adam lidei malacha, but there's no malacha. The Ketzos Shulchan, there's no malacha. Elisha asiyosa hu inyan esek shel chol v'tircha. Hamshakech es ha'odem shakeesu Shabbos, where you begin to lose track of whether it's Shabbos. Va'av shemilse lahate dover kezeh b'Shabbos. Ubem es nirish roish beis of lahayin yonu. Ubedivri hanovi Yeshaya v'kibartu me'asos drechach. He brings the same source. V'kibul Chazal, the Gemara says in Shabbos, da'akavon hi shelo yehi hilucha b'Shabbos ki hilucha b'chol. Dan shelo yoritz v'la yivsa psiyas gasas kedarka b'chol b'shasha odem ma'her loritz achar oskal, the way that a person runs during the week.
Ukein zekosu b'tshuvas mishnah halachas for Menashe Klein zechon levracha, and he writes the following: Lefiani is daiting there at klal bazel lefimashom chazal v'daber dovish lahi diburcha shabbos kadiburcha shachal. Again, what's the exact gather of what you're allowed to speak about on Shabbos? How you talk in Shabbos? What's the content of what you're talking about on Shabbos? These are interesting discussions. But the Gemara says shloihei diburcha. Shal Shabbos ki diburch shachal. Hachinami omer shalei hei ma'asecha shal Shabbos ka ma'asecha shachal. So if it's a matter of how you speak, that it can't be the same as you do during the week, and how you walk, then certainly what you do in the activities of Shabbos can't be the same as regular weekday activities. Claim ha'afilu b'malachas she'ein b'hem isu mishu melechas Shabbos. Where there's no issue of melechas Shabbos. She'ein b'hem din melachim lamates melachas v'tal d'lesein. But there's no problem of lamates melachas. Since these are activities that are specifically done during the week, not to do them. Or im tzarach la'asosan, yasoisan b'shinui shleihei ke'uv de dechol, and if it must be done, then it should be done in a way that's not uv de dechol. Now, to try to clarify the gather of this. Category of Ovda Dechol. So Mitzvah will continue next week. There's a tshuva from Rav the Debit Sina Rav, and there's a tshuva in Chelek Dad of Igros Moshe, where Moshe talks about specifically the Inyan of Zilusa the Shabbos and Kavod Shabbos. So try to hold on to the pages together with the other pages, and we'll continue Mitzvah next week. Okay, so the question: how, with the Shabbos lamp, what about that? And the post.